All right, so last week we watched Sea Hunt, which was a pretty decent show, holds up. But it made me think of underwater shows we were discussing a bit, like, what was that? Oh, Sea Quest was a show I watched when I was younger, but we're like, yeah, not right now, maybe never for Sea Quest. But I've got another show that I don't think this is going to be great, but I've got a reason. I got a reason that we're watching this. This one is called Sea Lab 2020. And it's a animated show from 1972. It's one of the Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning shows. So I assume you are not familiar with Sea Lab 2020.
No, but I imagine it's very two-dimensional, like all those Hanna-Barbera things were, most famous, of course, being the Flintstones.
Yeah, so and actually I feel like the Flintstones was probably higher quality, I feel like later on some of these shows in the 70s, they really got a little shaky. And then in the 80s, it got really bad with like the Merry Marvel Marching Society. That wasn't Hanna-Barbera, but yeah, there were some bad cartoons. So yeah, this was before my era. So I didn't see it on Saturday mornings because I wasn't born yet. And you were already an adult making your way in the world. So Sea Lab was not for us, basically.
Yeah, I was going to university. I had better things to do on Saturday morning, like get over a hangover, than watch Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, it would be very unusual if Sea Lab was a part of your life, but it would be unlikely that it would be anyway because it's quite forgotten. It only ran from September to December 1972, and they didn't even make a full season. They basically made 13 episodes that they were going to run four times to fill up the year, and then NBC was like, "Nah, that's enough. That's enough out of that." But it's a little bit famous, I guess, to, when I worked at a comic shop, there's this guy, Alex Toth, who's quite a famous illustrator, and he is the guy who designed the characters for this. I think he's most famous for Space Ghost. But yeah, I feel like there's really not much to say about it. I've actually never seen it. I'm a little curious about this, but I feel like it's going to be probably a little bit of a stale cartoon. I don't know, though. I mean, we liked the Star Trek cartoon a lot, and I feel like it's going to be similar. It's just this is an undersea lab, a sea lab, if you will, and just kind of a forgotten show. So, I mean, my expectations are very low, I guess, but I don't know. It might not be terrible. But I have an ulterior motive for why we're watching this, but we just got to watch Sea Lab first. So, I got the first episode of Sea Lab.
Okay, well, we might as well watch it because neither of us know anything about it.
Exactly. So, let's quit our yammering and let's just watch Sea Lab.
All right.
This is the year 2020. The place is the Challenger Seamount, the top of an underwater mountain. A complex beneath the sea. 250 men, women, and children live here, each of them a scientist pioneer. For this is our last frontier, a hostile environment which may hold the key to tomorrow.
So yeah, I think it's safe to say Sea Lab 2020 is a fairly dry cartoon.
Well, they tried to be very educational in it, like talking about the bends and how you need oxygen and you have to decompress for so many days, et cetera, et cetera. They really were not just telling a storyline. They were trying to educate youth about underwater activity, I guess.
Yeah, the very relatable situation of, yeah. Well, it was extremely similar, actually. It did fit with Sea Hunt because it was similar to the second episode of Sea Hunt we watched about, needing to regulate your air and yada yada. But yeah, it's funny, even one of the things that you commented was a good thing about Sea Hunt was that it was just random miners underwater that were rescued. It wasn't the grandson of the guy who owned the mine, because that would have been too dramatically, a little too much if it was the grandson. Instead, the grandson was just dead. This one, it was the grandson. It's exactly the thing. But to be fair, it is just a Saturday morning cartoon. But even then, I do feel like my era got quite criticized for He-Man and Transformers and everything being a commercial. But at least it wasn't this corny. Like they're rescued at the end, and the kid's like, "Now maybe we'll get real lucky, and hopefully we'll learn they also saved us some dinner." And everyone laughs, and it's like, "That's not funny. Don't don't tell kids that that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't need to put that little stupid joke in at the end. And then you have to wonder, they've just had an earthquake and they're, you know, trying to deal with that on the ship and the results of that. And then, okay, yeah, can we go swim? Yeah, sure. You know, I don't think after you've just had an earthquake and knowing what the rest of us know about earthquakes, that there's tsunamis follow and possibly there's shock waves after and this kind of stuff. Why do you let a couple of dumb kids go floating around in the ocean with an hour on their air tanks?
So yeah, a fairly unexceptional cartoon. Like I can see why it was something they tried out, but you know, they only made the 13 episodes and it kind of got forgotten.
I thought the animation would be very two-dimensional, the same way that the Flintstones is. But they put a little bit of effort into the animation. It's nothing like the Japanese animation that was coming out at the same time. But they did put more effort into trying to create something that had a little bit of three dimensions to it, as opposed to the flatness of something like the Flintstones. That's all I can say about it. Huh? Would I go and feel I had to, if I was a kid, had to watch it every Saturday morning? Well, not really. I mean, I suppose I'd have to watch it because there'd probably be nothing else on, but.
Yeah, or even the educationalness. I mean, they did carry that on with He-Man, you know, like, hey, don't, carefully, don't get yourself trapped inside a refrigerator. Don't play in an old fridge if you find one in a junkyard or whatever. But it was like a 1 minute at the end of the cartoon. It wasn't the whole cartoon. Lessons about the bends and all this stuff. But it was, I guess, kind of funny too, just that it takes place in the year 2020. And then you see the little 1970, whatever, you know, 1972 copyright. It's like, yeah, it's similar to the Space 1999 scenario of like, yeah, it sounds like it's far in the future, but it's not. You really got to make those dates way higher.
No, because here we are.
Yeah.
We're past 2020. And as far as I know, we don't have a sea world that looks like that.
So yeah, the reason though that I had us watch that forgotten random children's cartoon from the 70s is there's another cartoon, the one that I know. It's not C-Lab 2020. It's C-Lab 2021. So what this is, you know, so this was a Saturday morning kids cartoon, but by the year 2000, in the 2000s, that's when they started kind of cluing in that it was a lot of stoned adults that were also watching cartoons. You know, it wasn't just kids watching cartoons. So the Cartoon Network had all these cartoons they would run at night, you know, at like 11 at night that, you know, were for grownups.
South Park and all that. Yeah.
South Park is more, it was more prime time and more kind of like, you know, directly political and directly offensive. These are just cartoons literally for stoned people. Like, let's just make a weird cartoon that will just, if some guy's in his underwear eating cereal at 11 at night, he'll watch this cartoon. Like, quite a few steps down from South Park and like a million steps down from The Simpsons, but not in a bad way. These things are still great, but their target was not to be smart, not to be clever, just to be dumb. So these two guys who worked at Cartoon Network, Adam Reed and Matt Thompson, I guess as the story goes, they were just like digging through the archives. I think it says they literally found a tape of C-Lab in the closet, you know, just like in with all the old stuff. And they're like, yeah, what the heck is this show that nobody remembers? What if we took this show? Because I guess the other thing, if you're making alternative cartoons for stoners, you got to make them cheap, right? So they were like, what if we took the animation from C-Lab? We just took these old cartoons that we got kicking around and took these characters and we just wrote crazy shit and make a new C-Lab. So I think I'll just let it speak for itself. But yeah, the main thing I guess to keep in mind is, yeah, this is not Saturday morning in 1972. Now it's Tuesday night in 2005. You know, it's late at night. It's almost midnight and you're flipping through channels and you're probably high and you see C-Lab 2021. And this one's only 10 minutes long also, because you probably don't have a high attention span because you're high. So it'll go by fast. But I think, I don't know, I think you'll appreciate it you might not love it, but I think seeing the old C-Lab and then seeing this, I don't know, it's pretty great, I think. But I guess we'll see how this goes. And yeah, watching Sea Hunt last week, I was like, oh yeah, C-Lab. I haven't thought of C-Lab in a while. So yeah, here's C-Lab 2021. Great theme song too, very catchy theme song.
Okay, well, let's see how it is.
Oh, I should mention too, yeah, we're watching season 1, episode 2, I, Robot.
Why settle for a cat, Hash? You could be a robot tiger.
No, 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 no. Absolutamente no. If I have to be 5 feet nothing, Hash can't be a tiger.
You're not the boss of Tigerbot, Hash.
Then he has to live in a robot zoo. Hear that, Hash? The zoo.
So I don't know if the creators of C-Lab would be happy that this is what happened to C-Lab, but that was way more successful. That ran for like 4 seasons. They made a bunch of episodes of that. So yeah, C-Lab came back from the dead to be the dumbest show that has ever been made.
It was very entertaining.
And it's weird stuff like that. Like I heard about the Adrian Barbeau bot before I knew who Adrian Barbeau was. You know, just like... sort of like The Simpsons, how I get my cultural references from The Simpsons. But yeah, I picked up some things from C-Lab also. But I just love how it is aggressively not trying to be anything except like a conversation that a stoned guy would have. You know, like you'd sit around, or drunk, I guess. But you're sitting around and you're like, what if you had a robot body? You know? And then they just won't let it go. The whole stupid episode is... And man, like I forgot about some of those lines, like... we don't need Rome telling us what to do, like all this crap that it just, again, became part of our vernacular. Like we would just say these lines all the time.
Well, it's not that far-fetched in making a statement about how oftentimes people in power are on a whole different wavelength than people who are trying to deal with a situation and resolve a situation. You know, I mean, these guys were so hung up on what it would be like to be a robot that they were totally oblivious to the fact that their pods were blowing up all over the place and there was danger, danger. And even the noise is there getting louder and louder and louder. Danger, danger, danger. Oh, it's annoying me. Click. Just click it off.
Yeah, and I guess that's what's good about, I mean, it must have been a fun job. Like there was a bunch of these shows that were in this similar kind of template. That you really don't need to give a crap at all. I mean, everybody died in that one. The whole thing blew up, and that was episode 2. They were all just back alive next episode. No one cares. You know, it's like you don't have to care about the actual plot. If anything, like the plot gets in the way. So yeah, I don't know. Just that was the thing when we watched Sea Hunt, made me think of Sea Lab. But then I realized, like, oh, yeah, you know, C-Lab is actually based on a real cartoon that I've never seen. So I can't just show you the silly, insane C-Lab about the robot tiger. You're not the boss of Tigerbot Hesh. Like, there's just all these things in that show that it's way too many times I've quoted that one episode in particular. But yeah, I figured we better watch the original because I can't just jump right in and show you the crazy one. But I do think it makes it kind of funnier. Because it is, those are the same characters. That's the same designs. It's all the same, except way different. Like, it's almost funnier that C-Lab 2020 was so stale. You know, it was so bland. that then just to take it.
It was almost righteous. You know, we've got to educate. We can't just tell a story to these children. We have to educate them. Serious, serious, serious. And then you get the follow-up there where it's this whole adult world is so caught up in what their physical being would be like that they're totally oblivious to what's really important in the world is that the pods are all blown up.
And yeah, it's extremely the opposite of like how they just so quickly devolve into how there's going to be a robot uprising and there's no choice but to kill the humans, you know, and they're just fine with it. Like, yeah, well, that's what's got to happen. Or then even one of the pods blows up and he's like, whatever, pod 6 was jerks. You know? Yeah, like total nihilism. Like they just don't give a shit at all. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I do imagine if you put your heart and soul into C-Lab and then 30 years later, that's what happens to it. I'm sure that wouldn't be a great feeling. But as someone who's not affiliated with the original, I love that they made that. Like, it's so great. It's just like, either it could just stay forgotten forever and no one would ever say the word C-Lab 2020 ever again, probably, or make a new one and there you go. And it's also awesome, I guess, because it also ties into like my exact generation of, you know, being the generation that very distinctly never grew up, you know, like we're just Peter Pan idiots who just kept watching cartoons and never stopped. And that's what happens. That's the outcome. And it's even funny in that sense of like, we don't need it to be good. We don't need it to make sense. We don't need it to be coherent. We just need it to be weird and crazy and say insane shit and use literally the same animation from 1972. It's fine. I don't care. That's fine.
You know? You say that was done in 2005.
Yeah, so it's actually been 20 years since that C-Lab now. That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Very reminiscent of a lot of the stuff coming out at that time, though. Like you mentioned Simpsons. I mentioned South Park, but there was also Family Guy. And, you know, there was a lot of the animation that was kind of making a statement. These guys are doing it in a very funny way. But there was a lot of adult cartooning done at that time. I don't know how much there is now because I don't have a television anymore. But there was a period there where it was very, very popular to be making these animation that would have been, yes, for people your age who watched that animation as kids. And now you're still watching it like 20 years later, 30 years later.
Yeah, actually, that could maybe tie in. I did have a couple of cartoons set aside where, yeah, this phenomenon of grown-up cartoons, quote-unquote grown-up cartoons, you know, arguably these grown-up cartoons are stupider than the cartoons for kids were, you know. The old C-Lab seemed a lot smarter than the new one. But I do have some newer ones that maybe I'll dig up and show you, because it really has gotten weird, because, like, what this makes me think of when you were saying about that era, especially, like, the late 90s was a real spike of wrestling and South Park and Jackass and Tom Green. And it was like a real time of like, let's really push it. Let's push the envelope. And I do feel like C-Lab, this is where it's starting to turn the other way a little bit of like, maybe let's just be weird. We don't have to be offensive. We just can be weird. And things at this point have gotten so weird. There's this cartoon called Ha Ha You Clowns that is, yeah, like I do feel like I got to show it to you at some point, because it's like a really serious down-to-earth cartoon about a single father and his three adult sons and how they're trying to go on after the mother of the family passed away. And it's just, they just love each other and support each other. And I kept waiting for the joke, like for the nihilism, for the sarcasm, and it doesn't happen. The joke is that they're just very nice people who love each other. Like, that's the point we've gotten to. It's very weird. It's a very weird cartoon because you just keep waiting for it to get sarcastic and it just doesn't. He's just a very nice man. It's like, but it's funny in a way. It's funny that they're so nice. It's like a whole Ned Flanders family, but we're not poking fun at them. It's very hard to explain, but when you see it, it's just like, wow. So
the bottom doesn't fall out, you know, because that's what you're usually expecting. When you watch anything, you're expecting a climax or the bottom falls out of the thing. Something like in that show we just saw, for example, the man who saved the space station or the sea station or whatever, he's a robot. And that's the joke.
Right.
Because here they're talking about all this stuff and yet they've got one in their midst and they don't even know it.
Yeah, like I guess the way to describe Ha Ha You Clowns, in fact, maybe I should just add it to this episode, because I think it kind of fits, where basically I guess the way to explain it is like, you know, C-Lab was 20 years ago, South Park was 30 years ago. So what used to be a funny renegade, you know, pattern in cartoons of like, oh, it's going to be grown up, it's going to be offensive, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be unexpected, that's not unexpected anymore. They've been doing it for decades. So what do you do now? How do you surprise somebody now? And how they do it now is that it's just an extremely earnest show. Like it really is, but it's really funny in a weird way. Like the dad in this show You know, he like starts tearing up and he's trying not to cry in front of his sons. And he's just, I don't know how I raised such good boys. I don't know how I raised such a fine group of boys. And that's it. There's no other joke. It's such a weird show. So yeah, let's watch that then. Before I put out this episode, we'll watch that and add our thoughts about that onto this one.
Okay.
Because yeah, how do you shock the unshockable? You know, like I can't be shocked by a cartoon anymore. You know, like look at C-Lab. Everyone blew up and died. You can't get weirder than that. So how do you shock me now? And it worked. Like I only watched this Ha Ha You Clown show. Even why it's called that is because his sons are just goofing around and he's just like, Ha Ha You Clowns. You good-natured boys. Like that's, and yeah, I was watching it and I was like uncomfortable by it. I'm like, what is this? What is this show? Why are we, what the heck is this? You know, like that's what they have to do to surprise me now, because being just crazy isn't surprising anymore.
Sounds like that old saying, the pendulum swings. It sounds like the pendulum swinging back, or maybe already has.
So yeah, the episode I have put aside, I just kind of, as I set this up a while ago, I presumed I had the first episode, but I don't. So the first episode, though, it does introduce that it's this dad and the three sons, like I mentioned. But I guess the episode I thought would be the one to watch, it's season one, episode 5, Duncan Holds a Baby. I decided this one was the one we need. But yeah, so this show, like when I first saw it, I honestly, I didn't like it. You know, I was kind of off put by it. It's uncomfortable, but there's something compelling about it that I'm like, well, let me just watch one more and let me just watch one more. And then I watched all of them. But yeah, so this is what happens when you just make crazy, weird late night stoner cartoons for 20 or 30 years and you're trying to, you know, because I have kind of fallen out of the loop. I'm not up on everything that's going on all the time, but this show cut through the noise, and this is how it did it. This is where we're at now.
How you feeling, Duncan? You feeling okay?
I'm fine, but I feel like a complete failure. I mean, I look at you guys, and you're so great with kids. What's wrong with me?
Duncan, if we're great with kids, then it's all thanks to you.
Me? I remember the first time we laid eyes on you. You were so tiny.
You looked like a little cherry tomato.
You were in the ICU. We had to wait a whole 2 days to hold you.
Really?
Longest 2 days of my life. But the moment Mom placed you in our arms, and you flashed us with those big baby blues, it was love at first sight.
Yeah, we told the doc, okay, we'll keep this one.
Oh, God.
What a burp bag.
Oh, man, though. Like, it's so funny because, like, it has those little bits of things that are similar to other of, like, late-night cartoons. You know, it's got the weird art style. Everyone's strangely ugly. And it's got, like, little bits of things, like when he's imagining the baby as a beach ball and it deflates. Like, it's got a few of those little hallmarks of, like, a weird cartoon. But yeah, the funniest part is how earnest it is. It just is so nice. You know? Like the whole show is just how he's afraid to hold a baby. Well, that's what I was saying though. Like the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't think this is for me. I don't know about this show. But then I watched another one and I watched another one. And yeah, this one, it's almost a shame this one didn't have much of the dad. Because it's so funny when the dad gets so proud of them that his eyes start to get red and he's trying not to cry, but he's so proud of his boys. Yeah, and like in that one, I mean, it has those little, but that's the thing too that's weird about it is that the times when it's a little bit mean seems so much more mean because it's not usually like that. Like the dad, that guy Jeff, why were they so mean to Jeff? They kept making fun of Jeff and knocking his hat off and stuff. It just seems awful.
That's a macho thing. You know, you gotta, you know, it's like when you meet some guy and you gotta hit him on the shoulder, like, hey, buddy, you know, you just can't go over and shake his hand. You gotta.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess that's the thing that makes it so weird feeling in this show is that they look like that. They look like, even that, the three brothers that all have the same voice and all look the same, whatever. They seem like they would be that type of person. But then they're throwing baby showers and they're so, like, you know, like as mean as it gets is how mean they were to that guy. But it feels so mean because of that.
It's like we deal so much in a macho man world, but there's a movement afoot and has been for a while to show the sensitive side to man, the male sex, and the feminine side, the feminine interest, you know, as a recognition of men aren't all macho. They do have emotions, and there's all kinds of stuff out there, like in this era, that is trying to show that and develop that, as opposed to just rah, 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 rah. And that's what this show does, but it kind of doesn't go anywhere other than showing that these guys have a soft side.
But again, yeah, like that's where if you want to surprise a person who has been, you know, fed crazy cartoons for all this time. Yeah. Like that's the perfect example of like when Duncan admits finally that he is nervous about holding the baby. That's already a step beyond what would normally happen, that he actually is open and clear about how he feels. And then they don't go like, oh, you dumb pussy, you suck. Instead, this is the nicest thing ever about like, well, we learned it all because we were with you when you were a baby. You were like a little cherry tomato. You were just a wonderful gift to our family. And it's like, what? What is happening? Like, it really is like reverse surprising because nothing else happens. That's all that happens.
Well, we see the sensitive side to the male gender. Even so much the father with the hat on there, that they're kind of mistreating at first. He's got a sensitive side too.
Yeah.
And he opens up and, you know, that he admits that he was nervous about this, which men forever in our culture they've hidden that. It's always, you never show the sensitive side to man, but that's what this is doing.
Yeah. So that's where we're at now though. That's, and yeah, it's like, it's genius in its own way. I wouldn't have had this idea. I wouldn't have made this show in a million years, you know, just like who would even think to do this?
Well, in my first reaction is it's so sweet. Give me a barf bag, because man.
But that's part of, I guess, what compelled me to watch it. It's like, is it really, is this really it? It's not going to ever not be this. And at least so far, it's only been one season. But yeah, it's just a good-natured show about nice people.
The sensitive side. That's what they're trying to show. The sensitive side to man. That everybody's got it.
So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, if I had to pick one or the other, if I was stuck on a desert island and I could only watch one show or the other, I would take C-Lab every day. I much prefer the crazy talk about, you know, robot, tiger bot hash or whatever. But I do, I came to respect Haha, You Clowns. I'm just like, wow. So this is where we're at now. This is what's going on.
Well, thank you for introducing it to me.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't expect it to pop up in the C-Lab episode, but I do feel like it fits. But once you realize that C-Lab was 20 years ago, it's like, oh yeah, it has been a while.
All I can say about it, though, is I'm not going to run out and watch the other episodes of it. That was enough.
Yeah, and I mean, it's that really is it. That's the other thing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here, I guess, and tell you just about cartoons, but it always comes up, too, of like, mom would be so proud of you, dad. She can see how much you're struggling, but what a good job you're doing. Because it's not even necessarily the dad all the time. It's the sons. How are these sons like so wise about everything and just looking after everyone all the time? But they are. But at the same time, yeah, they look like big jocks and they talk like they're total idiots. It's just a real, like, I guess that's the thing. It's still in its own way a real weird show. But in a totally different way than C-Lab is a real weird show.